Who likes new beginnings? To start fresh. Who doesn't? Yes. Who doesn't like new beginnings? Well, I want us to look at this year as a fresh start. A fresh start maybe for your life, maybe for the life of this church, right? And whatever God wants to bring us through this year. But I just wanted to kind of give a New Year message. So I titled it The God of New Beginnings. Just some things that God has been laying on my heart that I wanted us to think about and pray about, be encouraged about, to ponder, to meditate on as we begin another year, 2026. What will this year bring? It's already begun. It's already started, right? Our calendars reset, right? Gyms begin to fill up again, right? Planners get purchased, whether you're old school and grab the old one that you write in or an online planner. We make resolutions with good intentions. Some people still do that. We make resolutions maybe to pray more, maybe worry less. I want to worry less this year. To get healthier, I need to get healthier, whether that's mentally or physically, to be better versions of ourselves. These are things that people think about as they start a new year. And yet, if we're honest, in my experiences as a pastor working with people, many of us are probably entering 2026 carrying things that are still from 2025, right? And we bring things with us that I would love for you not to bring into the new year, right? We maybe habits we wish we didn't have. We call them bad habits, right? Maybe sins that we're still struggling with that I just wish God would give me freedom from these things, these repetitive sin, these regrets that I think about, things that I've done that I just regret and that still sting me a bit. Maybe some unanswered prayers, right? That we wish were answered. Griefs that we still feel. The good news of the gospel is this, that God specializes in new beginnings. Don't you love that about our God? Right? That he specializes in brand new starts, new beginnings. Jesus is not in the business of merely improving us. He makes us new, it says. He makes us brand new. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. His mercies are new every morning. I think it's one of the hardest things, at least in my experience in doing counseling and or what I call discipleship counseling and working with believers, is believers continually are trying to improve the flesh life still, right? Their old identity. And they keep working on improving that old identity instead of living out of the new identity. And I hope that this is the year that revelation of that truth, because it has to be revealed to you. We work so hard at improving the flesh, right? But we're still living out of the old identity. And Christ came to give us a new identity. So that's one of my prayers, because that is the good news of the gospel. It's the good news and a much more gospel. There's so much more and a much more gospel. And so we don't want to try to improve the flesh. He's made us new. He's given us a brand new identity. Behold, he says, I am making all things new. That's what it says. Behold. Behold. Behold this truth. Behold it. I am making all things new. Not some things. Not a few things. Not eventually things. He is actively at work right now. John 5:17, Jesus says this, I and my Father are always at our work. He's always working on our behalf. Do you know God is the author of new beginnings? When you read your Bible and you read of all these new starts given by our gracious God, for example, Adam and Eve, right? They fell, right? They fell. And God promised a redeemer, didn't he? Humanity drowned in their wickedness. But God gave Noah a new world and a new covenant, didn't he? Israel failed again and again and again. But God gave them new mercies every morning, didn't he? Peter denied Jesus three times. Yet Jesus restored him three times, didn't he? I love you, right? I love you, right? Saul persecuted Christians. Jesus made him Paul the Apostle, didn't he? Right? He is the author. Our God is the author of new beginnings. He doesn't discard broken people. Can I just repeat that? God does not discard you because you're broken. Right? In fact, he says, "Come unto me, all you who are weak, weary, broken, heavy-hearted." Those are the ones he's calling. Broken ones are the ones he's calling. You cannot ride a horse until it's what? Until it's broke. Right? It's the only way you can ride it. It's the only way you can move forward with that animal. Everything preaches and teaches something about him. God does not discard broken people. He redeems them. He doesn't just erase your past. He writes over it with his grace. Lamentations 3:22, verse 20-23, they say this: "His mercies never come to an end." How many of us feel like God's finally sick of me? Right? He's finally tired of me. Right? I'm sure he's done with me now, because I keep screwing up again and again and again and again. But in Lamentations it says, "His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God." Isn't that nice? We need to etch that onto our minds and our hearts, that his mercies are new every morning. The newness we need is actually found only in Christ. That is the newness that we're actually looking for. The world today, it's telling us that newness comes from self-improvement, from improving self. Have better goals, have maybe better habits, better positive thinking, right? But it says to improve yourself. Go into a bookstore right now, and what do you see by the hundreds as soon as you walk in that store? Well, self-help books, right? That promise you renewal. But has it come yet? How well are we doing? How well is the world doing? Scripture says something different. Scripture says the real problem isn't our schedule, our body, or our finances. It says the real problem is our heart. Right? The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Why? Why does it say that? Because the heart is looking for everything to fill it but Jesus. Right? It'll look for things in this world to fill it. But does it work? Does it happen? Does it fulfill you? It actually doesn't, does it? Right? I love that new TV I got for Christmas, but eventually it's just my TV. Right? It filled a wonderful little joy in there in the moment, and maybe for the first month, but then it just becomes my TV. This world can't grant you, it can't fill you with what you're looking for. Only Christ can do that. The real problem is not our schedule, not our bodies, not our finances. The problem is our heart, right? We let it wander and we let it fill with the things of this world instead of recognizing for the believer that you're filled to overflowing in Christ. But if you don't see what you have, what happens? You lose it, right? Where are my glasses, guys? Where are my glasses? Well, they were right here the whole time. See, I went looking for what I had because I didn't see what I had. It's one of the ace up the enemy's sleeves. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Right? If you are in Christ, you have a new identity now. You are a new creation. Right? He is the God of new beginnings. Jesus came to give us a brand new beginning. His mercies never come to an end. Do you know that today? He is never sick of you. He is never tired of you. As long as you go to him, he will receive you. Did you know that? I hope as a church that we get this. Christianity doesn't say, try harder. You need to try harder. Turn over a new leaf. Fix yourself already. Would you just fix yourself? No, Christianity says be born again. Come find a life, Christ's life. It says receive a new heart. And Ezekiel says, I'll remove your heart of stone that nothing can penetrate it and put a new heart, a heart of flesh, a soft heart that can be penetrated. Christianity says, become a new creation in Christ. Live out of the new identity that Jesus has come to give you. Jesus didn't come to improve sinners. He came to save sinners, right? We're not to improve it. He came to remove it, not improve it, and live out of the brand new identity that we have in Christ. You know, God makes us new in a number of ways. You know, one of them is justification. He's justified us. Remember the Apostle Paul said, we stand before his throne with confidence now. Now we do. Not because of what we've done, but everything that Christ has done. Right? We are justified. The moment that you trust Christ, your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is removed. Your record is clean. You are declared righteous in Christ. Now that is new identity. Amen? That is new identity. You know, I wanted to just take a little bit of time. I printed off this. I went looking for different scriptures showing full and complete forgiveness that we have in Christ, just in case you don't believe my words. Okay? Here's what scripture. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That means past, that means present, and that means future. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's that word again. Some unrighteousness, a few? No, all. 1 John 2:1 and 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. That's such a fun word to say. I added that in there. 1 John 2:12, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not yours, but his. Colossians 1:13 and 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13, 14, he has forgiven you all your trespasses, all your sins, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, nailing it to the cross. God removes our sins absolutely, completely. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Are you getting the point yet? Micah 7:18 and 19, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 43, I am he who blots out your transgressions, and I will not remember your sins. Or as the old translation to love, I will remember your sins no more. Romans 8:1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, it is Christ who died and is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Isn't this wonderful news? John 8, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 5:24, he who hears my word and believes has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Oh, how about just a couple more? 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have gone. The new has come. Hebrews 8, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Hebrews 10, 17 and 18, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Amen. Isn't that good news? Did I give you enough? Was that enough? Even Scripture teaches that through Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven. God no longer remembers them. They are removed completely. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Christ's sacrifice was once and for all. Believers stand clean, they stand justified, and they stand redeemed. Amen. They stand redeemed. The good news of the gospel. God not only forgives you, he begins to exchange you. Now, people like to use that word change, but the world's been trying to change for how long? And how well are we doing? Right? You know, like I've told you, there's over 500,000 now books written on marriage of people trying to improve their marriages. And the divorce rate's never been higher. How well are we doing? Right? It's the exchange life that God's about. He wants to exchange that old rock hard heart, put a new source within you, remove Adam's life and put in Christ's life. That is what we need. That is exactly, God is about the exchange, living out of the exchange life, because apart from him, you can do nothing. I hope in 2026, we actually have come to believe that now. Apart from him, we can do nothing, but in him, I can do all things. God not only forgives, he begins to exchange. You begin to live out of this exchange life. And with that, living out of that new identity, this exchange life we now have in Christ, you'll have new desires. You'll discover the strength that you have in him that you never thought was possible to get through even the hardest of circumstances. You'll find this new coming strength to say no to those sins that you had been going to. You'll find a new love, this love that doesn't come to a point, this everlasting love and a compassion, even for the person who rubs you the wrong way the most. You may not be who you want to be yet, but you're also not who you used to be either, are you? Right? Again, I've heard Christian maturity defined in so many different ways over the years. You know, some have defined it as, well, you're a weed growing into an oak tree, right? Well, that's real nice. I'm a weed. People don't like me. They want to pick me and throw me away. No, that's not what it is. When you came to Christ, you got all the fullness of him. In Colossians, it says, the fullness of the Godhead lives in bodily form in you. And in Christ, you've been brought to that fullness. So is something that's full missing something? No. It's absolutely full. You have everything you need. That's what it says in Scripture. You have everything. I've given you everything for life and godliness. And where do you find that? In Christ. Right? In Christ. It's all found in him. You cannot do it apart from him. Now, you may not recognize all of what you have in here yet. But hopefully, as you journey with him every day, you recognize more and more of what you always had ever since the first day you invited him into your heart. Amen? Now, you may be an oak tree this high, or you may be this high, but is the nature of the oak not the same here as it is here? It just grew into what it always was, an oak tree. My boy, he's a man. He's just growing into what he always was, a man. Can you believe it, son? First time dad's called me a man. Right? We just grow into what we always were. So you don't lack anything. You just don't recognize. See, isn't it wonderful? And I've said this to you many times, and I will grill you on it because I want this. I know it takes time for things to work from here to here. But we need to hear it again and again and again. Because I want you to know who you are. I want you to recognize more and more every day of what you always had. It's nice for me to stand up here and say, hey, listen, I don't have anything new for you that you need. Come buy it from me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, here, I have nothing that you need if you have Jesus. If you have Jesus, let me witness to what's already in you then. So when I preach, I come as a witness. I'm witnessing to what's always been in you for the believer. For those who don't have Christ, I'm preaching to you to get that life in you because you need it. You need it. We absolutely need it. We look forward to being with God in glory, do we not? I mean, I do. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I wanted to experience things first. I want to experience marriage, having kids, growing old. But we look forward to that day where there's no more death, no more cancer, no more tears, no more sin, no more brokenness. In Revelation 21, it doesn't say that he makes some things new. It says he makes all things new. You know, I used to be a suicidal rapturist. And here's what I mean by that. Man, when life would get so hard and so heavy, I'd be like, oh, Lord, just take me. I can't take it anymore. Remember when Elijah got so tired, he laid down by the tree and he said, God, just take me now. I'm done. Right? And some of us, we get to that point. Just like, I call them suicidal rapturists. God, just take me now. Just take me now. I can't do it anymore. This life will drive you to that, won't it? Right? If we don't see our hope in him, if you continue to look to this world and the things in it to fill you, it will drive you mad because it just cannot fill you what he can. Remember the scripture, taste and see how good I am? When you get a taste of him, you really understand that scripture, right? Because when you have the real thing, you don't want anything else, do you? Because that's the realest thing in this life. And he will carry you through what you never thought possible. Well, as we walk into 2026, as a family of faith here at Provost Community Church, as a believer in Christ, as part of the church universal, how should we walk into 2026 as his children? Well, number one, I want us to leave the forgiven sins in 2025. They're forgiven, right? God has forgiven you of all of your sin. And if God has forgiven you, then you need to stop carrying what Jesus already carried for you. Does that make sense? Psalm 103, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. So we need to stop fishing in the sea where God has thrown your sins. Stop fishing there. They're forgiven. Right? I think we feel like we need to wallow around in the guilt of our sin for a while. When I was in the Baptist church, I called it the Baptist form of penance. Oh, woe is me, God. I'm sorry. I want to show you I'm sorry. And people just lay around in it. Right? Is that what we want for our kids? If you think about your own kids? No. When they fall, we don't kick them in the dirt and rub them in it a little more. I hope not, right? No, we pick them up, we dust them off, are you okay? Hey, you know what? Next time, maybe put your foot there. It'll be better for you, right? Stop fishing in the sea where God has thrown your sins. So that'll be one. Leave forgiven sins in 2025. Don't carry them in. Two, I want us to surrender this year fully to Christ. And I pray that God shows you what that word fully means. Right? That we surrender fully to him. Don't just invite Jesus along in your plans. Ask for him to be your very plans. Right? It's like when I used to pray, you know, people would come to meet with me in the office for counseling. And I say, Lord, would you please give me your words? Lord, would you? I don't ask God to give me his words anymore. I say, God, would you come and be my very words? Because I don't want to give people something like you. I want them to have exactly you. So come be exactly you through me to them. So don't give me your words. Come and be my words. You be my very words, because that's what's going to free them. Lord, don't just bless my heart this year. Lead my heart. Lead my heart this year. Three, let's expect God to work. Amen? Can we expect that from the Lord? Well, he said it already. I and my Father are always at our work. Let's hope in a great expectation, not a hope of uncertainty, but a hope that is certain. It is certain to come. It will pass. Not because this year is new, but because Jesus is alive. Does that make sense? Not because it's a new year. I'll expect God to work. It's a new year. No, because Jesus is alive and he's still doing his work. God is still saving prodigal sons and daughters. He is still restoring marriages and relationships. He's still calling missionaries to go. He's still healing wounds that have been hurt. And he's still reviving churches into the right message today. Let's walk into 2026 with an absolute holy expectation. You know, the same God who spoke this world and the galaxies into existence, do you know he still speaks over our lives today? All of God, you look outside and you look at the glory of his creation. It's that same God who still speaks over your life today. Behold, he says, I am making all things new. New mercy, new grace, a new hope that is certain, a new strength that you never thought you could have, new direction for those who feel directionless, and a newfound joy that we have in Christ. In Peter, he says, it's an inexpressible and glorious joy. Let's just not start. Man, Tristan can really make you feel like you're boring him, eh? Let's not just start a new year. Let's walk with God in this new beginnings. Amen? Right? That's what I want for us this year. That is the call. And I think it's appropriate today that it's a communion Sunday. And this table reminds us of something new, doesn't it? Right? And Jesus asked us, every time you eat and drink, do this in remembrance of me. So I like to read it from Corinthians. It says this, for I received from the Lord what I am now also passing on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink from this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. It reminds us of new beginnings, doesn't it? Right? New beginnings. This is my blood, which is the new covenant. Right? It brings about the new covenant. Every time we come before this table, it's reminding us that he has made all things new. Right? Because apart from him, we can't do this life. You just can't. John 15:5. But in Philippians 4, it says, I can do all things through Christ now. Right? So every time we come to this table, it reminds us that he has made everything new for me. Right? I have him. As far as the east is from the west, he has now removed your sin. Please do not bring those things from 2025 into 2026. Let this be a fresh start for some of you. Not because it's a new year, but because he actually is alive. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we want to thank you that you are a God of new beginnings. Lord, that every day, your mercies, it says, are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You are a faithful God who makes things new every day. Each day is a new day. Lord, I pray that we don't carry the burdens of this life, because we can't. When we carry them, we get bogged down. We burn up, we burn out, we doubt. Lord, we fear, we worry, we're unrestful. Lord, I pray that we could just leave those things with you, that we remain light, not because of what we've done, but because of what you've done. And so, Lord, those who have heavy hearts today, those who enter another year wondering what is this year going to bring, Lord, I just pray that they walk with you and they talk with you. Allow you to encourage them, to love them, to give them a sense of newness as we walk into 2026. Lord, thank you for your body that was broken for each of us. Lord, we don't take that lightly today. We don't want to just make this a repetitive thing we do just out of habit. Lord, we want it to be real every time we come to this table. We recognize the sacrifice that you made for us, Jesus. We recognize that without you, Lord, we have no victory, no peace, and no joy in this life. So God, we just want to say thank you for coming, that we just celebrated your birth, coming to earth. Thank you, Lord, for living this perfect life that we couldn't, and for paying the sacrifice that was called for and needed for the forgiveness of our sins, and so that we can now live with a new identity, a new source, your life, the Holy Spirit, living in through us, so we can experience life in all of its fullness today, as it says in John 10:10. Your blood represents life. Your blood is it's the new covenant made in your blood, Lord. Your bloodshed brought us this new covenant that brings all things new. So, Lord, we are celebrating that fact today. We're remembering what you've done, and we're also saying thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done. We look forward in anticipation to what you're going to do here in 2026. We pray this, Jesus, in your name, all because of you. Amen.